Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. I'm J.P. Shadrick. Today, Tuesday, September 27th, and this is our somewhat weekly look at news and people around the Jags organization, and the Jags are still looking for answers after a 19-17 loss to the Baltimore Ravens at Everbank Field, and that loss dropped the Jags to an unexpected 0-3 record. It was a frustrating game in a number of ways, and we'll break down a little of that coming up. It is London week for the Jaguars, and what better time to visit with Neil Reynolds. He covers the NFL for Sky Sports in the UK, and he hosts many of the NFL-related events in the UK throughout the year. And it's actually a conversation from back in the summertime during mandatory minicamp when he and his crew were here in Jacksonville. But first, let's take a closer look at news from around the Jaguars organization. We start off with that 19-17 loss to the Ravens. The Jags defense played well enough to win the game. They got a couple of turnovers in key times of the fourth quarter, and for the most part, slowed down the Ravens' run game. But the offense was a different story. The Jags managed only 48 yards on the ground, even with Chris Ivory back. And without the threat of a consistent run game, Blake Bortles struggled to find much of anything in the passing game. And the Jaguars also committed key penalties in important situations, and now have 30 penalties for the season, the most of any team in the National Football League. For Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, the message to the team Monday was that the little things matter.
The big point is consistency, and it's a game of inches. And there's times like, for example, Blake, where you see great accuracy, multiple times. His completion percentage was 63%. That's improving to where it was in the past. But it's also a game of inches. There's a third down situation where it's just off the fingertips of Allen Robinson, overthrew Marquise Lee, you know, a little bit. It's those things. We had one, Telvin Smith made three great plays, and then there's one where he dropped a little bit too far and allowed a completion to happen. And that was the big message that I was pointing out to them, that the NFL it's a game of inches, and you have to do it consistently. And we're not doing it. We're not making enough of those consistent plays in those times.
Bortles threw for 194 yards with two touchdowns, but the three interceptions were all killers, especially the two in the fourth quarter. Now, each week, his quarterback rating has dwindled from week to week, and he understands the offense has to figure out a way to turn it on.
You know, I think every loss feels pretty much the same. They all feel pretty bad. You know, I think we were put in a position. I thought the defense played awesome. I thought special teams did a really good job. We had some unbelievable field positions and continue to tremendously underachieve as an offense. And, you know, that is nobody's fault outside of mine, I believe. You know, I think Ole called some good plays and put us in some good positions, and we didn't get it done. Way too many turnovers, way careless with the ball. Got to continue to try and work and establish a running game. But there's times where that's not going to work, and you got to be able to win in a different way. Whether it's throwing or doing different stuff, you got to find ways to win, and we haven't done that yet.
On the defensive side, though they played a decent all-around game, a veteran like Tashawn Gibson, the Jaguars' free safety, knows there's something missing.
This team is there. We just haven't figured it out yet, and I think that when you look across the board and, you know, if you take away the San Diego game where it was just awful, I think that, you know, we're planning games and we're able to win these games. It's just a play or two or three that's keeping us from, you know, winning these football games. You know, I think that, you know, the scrutiny is going to be on Blake, but if you look deeper into it, if we don't get unnecessary unsportsmanlike conduct play at the end of the half, they missed that field goal like he did, you know, we win by a point. You know, so at the end of the day, you can't just sit here and point fingers, and that's not what I'm going to do because, you know, I think that defensively, offensively, and special teams, we all played a hand in this loss.
The Jaguars provided a few injury updates Monday after the game. No update, though, on Brandon Linder with the sprained knee. We'll know more maybe on Wednesday as the Jaguars start prep for the Colts next week in London. Hayes Pollard left the game, the linebacker with a left ankle sprain, and was ruled out of the game. They'll look at him later in the week as well. Julius Thomas injured his elbow, but he played through the game. Dan Scuda strained a muscle in his hip. He finished the ball game and played through it. Devon House was ill on Saturday. He played through it. He had some cramping during the game and was taken inside for treatment. Expect him back and 100% this week. Chris Ivory sprained his right knee and sprained his left ankle during the game, his first with the Jaguars, but he was able to finish. He's evaluated by the staff throughout the week, and they'll update his status moving forward. And Kelvin Beachum does remain in the NFL concussion protocol as of Monday, and the team will update his status on Wednesday. Now this week, the Jaguars get to try to bounce back at a place where they should have a home field advantage, Wembley Stadium, London. It's the site of the Week 4 matchup with the Indianapolis Colts. It's a big divisional game for the Jags in the AFC South against a team that has never been to London. And remember, the Jags last year in London had a big lead over the Bills and let it slip away. But then they rallied in the final minutes to win on a Blake Bortles to Allen Hurns touchdown connection. It was the Jags' first win, hopefully of many, at Wembley Stadium, and hopefully that can be a trend, especially since they'll be there each year for the foreseeable future. Our guest today on the J.P. Shadrick podcast from Sky Sports TV, Inside the Huddle podcast. He's a writer for BritView NFL, NFL UK, Sky Sports, and Gridiron. Is that all, Neil Reynolds?
Well, I've just edited a season preview magazine called Touchdown. So, yeah, we've got even more going into this coming season. So, there's always lots to do in the UK. The game continues to grow over the pond.
Never ending. I knew I didn't have the full list. So a new venture for you.
Yeah, just like it's a look ahead to the season. So it looks at all 32 teams, but also is a magazine that introduces people to the NFL. So this is what a head coach does. This is what a quarterback does. But it's not my words. It's words from, obviously, I'm very fortunate in my position to go and interview a lot of NFL players and coaches. So it's Tom Brady, Andrew Luck, Ben Roethlisberger, Blake Bortles talking about what it takes to be a quarterback and what it takes to be a running back, a wide receiver. And so really just, again, trying to bring new fans into this great sport.
We'll get to your thoughts on the Jags and the London agreement coming up. But a little bit about your background. If folks here might not be familiar mm-hmm. with Neil Reynolds. Where are you from and when did you start liking the NFL?
So I'm from the UK, as you can probably tell.
Obviously. Thanks.
So I started watching the NFL in 1983. So just switched it on one day. My dad was watching it. It was on Channel 4 in the UK. And this rookie quarterback called Dan Marino was kind of taking the NFL by storm. So I took a look at that and became a fan of the NFL. Started covering the sport in 1991 as a kind of freelance journalist, doing bits and pieces. And then full-time as a writer for a First Down newspaper in 97 till 2000. I worked 6 years at the league office of NFL UK. And really ever since, I've kind of moved into my own kind of media business, you know, and doing Sky Sports. I've done BBC Radio coverage of the NFL before, and really been able to sort of go from strength to strength because the league has got so much bigger over there, so it's given me more opportunities. But you know, like so many of I started out as a fan, but now I'm a fan who, because of how the game has grown in the UK, I can watch as much as people do in America.
That's the thing about it now, is that it is on almost all the time. Every Sunday there are games, and that used to not be the case when you first started watching in the 80s.
Right. It was highlights, a one-hour highlight show 1 week after the games have been played, and now we're at the point where on Sky Sports we have the Thursday night game live, three games on a Sunday, we have Monday night football live, we've got BBC highlights as well. So you know, it's just become this monster that keeps growing.
Neil Reynolds is with us from Sky Sports in the United Kingdom. Monday night football, what time does that kick off in the UK?
It kicks off at 1:30 a.m. So luckily, you know, I should want to be in the studio as much as I could, but luckily for that one now, we just take the feed. But we used to do Thursday night football. So I would work a regular day, get up at 7:30, go into London, work a day until 5 o'clock, go home, grab something to eat, back to the studio. We would come on air at 1 o'clock. The game would kick off at 1:30. We would finish at, 4:30, quarter to 5 in the morning. Drive home, get home at 6:30, you know, a 24-hour day almost. So, yeah, there's some funny times that we keep. But obviously, the 1 o'clock and the 4:15 or 4:25 games are perfect for us. They're 6 o'clock and 9:25 in the UK.
How is the following now? NFL fans, a lot of expatriates that are over there now in the UK, of course. That's a big number of Americans living in the United Kingdom. But as a whole, British fans, are they really starting to get it? Are they latched on? Is it still just kind of a fad? What's the feel overall?
No, they're very I think they're very knowledgeable. I would say that the British fan has the ability now, because the world changes with technology, and we can sit and watch everything. We can watch coaches' film via the Game Pass product. We can watch anything that you get here in the United States. So I think it's a very knowledgeable market. I think it's, you alluded to sort of expats. There are obviously a number of expats that are in the UK, but the NFL have done studies on the games being played at Wembley Stadium, and north of 94-95% of that stadium is British. So it's about it's about building that British fan base, and I think they're very knowledgeable, very passionate. And there was a time in the 80s when we had pre-season American bowls when the kicker would trot on for the extra point, and we kind of laugh and joke about, oh, we cheer the extra points, that's what we do. Not anymore. We know to make noise on third down if you want the defense to get off the field. We know when to cheer, we know the intricacies of the game. And more fans come into the sport every year. And to be honest, when you're on Sky Sports, they keep me honest. You have to be on top of your game because somebody out there knows everything about their team. They really do.
Neil Reynolds is with us from Sky Sports. The Jaguars have committed to a game at Wembley Stadium, I believe, through 2020. There's a game this year at Twickenham as well, the rugby grounds. And then Tottenham Hotspur, their new stadium, I think they signed a 10-year deal with the NFL at some point, whenever that stadium is finished.
2018, that is.
18. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the games just continue to grow. What do you make, first off, of the Jags' commitment over there? And how has that helped the Jaguars fan base?
Well, it's certainly grown that fan base. Year on year, you see more people signing up for the Jags fan club. You see more people wearing Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson jerseys. That probably wasn't the case of a few years back. So it's certainly, from a Jags point of view, it's helped. It's helped, I would imagine, this franchise from a fan support point of view in the UK. Where it's helped NFL UK, I think, is when you have one team that you know is coming back year after year and is committed to that market, that allows you to go out and get the Dallas Cowboys or the Indianapolis Colts to go and get other teams, to know that you've got one team that is really committed and is actively trying to grow that fan base with you. Because at the end of the day, the thing that sells this game is the games and the players, the stars. We can talk about it all we want on TV, but when a Jags player comes into market, or another player from another team, the needle moves so much more. That's what sells this game. So the fact that one team committed to come year after year, I think it's almost now, because it's been done for a while, you're almost, well, that's what the Jags did, and that's, but it's actually huge. It's a huge thing. You only have eight home games.
Yeah.
And so to give up one of, I'm not very good at maths, but that's a large percentage. So, I think everyone in the UK appreciates what the Jags have done. And even if they're not Jags fans, I think there's a lot of people now that, if they've already got a team, the Jags are certainly their second team.
Neil, the question next is, at what point would there be a market for a full-time franchise there? Of course, there are logistical challenges that go with that are above and beyond, but that's the idea of this thing, is to get a base of possible season ticket holders.
Yeah, and I think we have that. We have that base there already now. I think we're at that stage fan numbers wise. I think we're pretty close. I think it's now 3, 4, 5 years before we either see a franchise or we see a package of like we saw Thursday Night Football start out on the NFL Network. Maybe there's a package of 8 games that's played in London. But I walk around the locker rooms of the NFL. I interview lots of players and coaches, and so many say, so we think it is only a matter of time, because you have the things that kind of hold back franchises or getting franchises in the US. Well, you want to know you've got the fan support. Well, I think we have that. You want to know that you've got the government support. Well, that's there now, because the government, in their last general election manifesto, put in part of their manifesto pledge was to try and work towards a British franchise of the NFL. And you want a stadium. Well, we've got 3 at the moment. We've got 3 that want to host NFL games. So all those kind of boxes are being ticked. Logistics is a huge one. Absolutely, it's a huge one. But the NFL is about making history, making groundbreaking moves. I still think it's going to happen.
Neil Reynolds with us from Sky Sports in the United Kingdom. Let's talk Jags now. Mm-hmm. You have a chance to talk to a lot of Jaguars players, and you see them from afar over in the UK. You've seen them in person the last few years. You've seen this franchise develop and grow over the last few years, and now it's kind of on the edge of making a move.
Yep.
Where do you start? Well, I guess we can start on offense. You got the quarterback in place, Blake Bortles. You got weapons around him, and it's an offense that put up big numbers last year. Well, the next challenge is to even get better, I guess, this season, right?
Yeah, and I think this is a team that's really exciting to me, and obviously I'm going to say that when I'm on your podcast, but
expect anything else, but thank you.
But you look, I was talking to a couple of the PR guys yesterday. I came at the start of this journey with Gus and Dave, and I think I asked for four or five players for interviews. We came with a list of 20 players. This is just an indication of the star power that is now on this team, and I'm a big Blake Bortles fan. I remember sitting the very first time I interviewed him, he hadn't thrown a pass in the NFL, and I went back to the UK and I wrote about, this guy gets it. He's mature. I think he's, because it's more than just standing there and taking a snap and throwing a pass to being a quarterback in the NFL. And I think he gets that, and I thought he got it right from being a rookie. And I just love watching him play. And we talked about it yesterday when I interviewed him. He's pretty fearless, but some of the best in the NFL were. That Brett Favre didn't mind throwing an interception or two, but
right.
He threw a few touchdowns along the way as well. So, I like Blake a lot. I like the way he carries himself. And just talk about the weapons around him. I keep trying to get them to call themselves the Allen brothers, like the old Marx brothers of the Dolphins back in the day.
That's kind of a thing over here. It's taken off a little bit. Maybe not over there.
Can I claim credit for it or not?
Probably go ahead. We can backdate
I'll take
that.
It. Yeah, no one's going to know, right? No one's going to know. But, I think those two are fantastic as well. I'm very, very interested to see how Marquise Lee fits in this year and hopefully, knock on wood, stays healthy. More balance maybe in the running game now. I liked... First half of last season, Chris Ivory was outstanding. And I watched him at Wembley Stadium for the Jets running all over the Dolphins. It's like you probably get an electric shock every time you try and tackle him. I mean, he is physical and he brings it to the defense. So, across the board, I think the offense has got better. It's going to be exciting to see.
We move over to defense now, and I'm reading a list of kind of star names that have not been around here. Malik Jackson, Dante Fowler Jr., Miles Jack, Prince Amukamara, Tashaun Gibson. Those are all additions this year to this Jaguars defense, and that should take a significant step.
Jalen Ramsey as well.
Jalen Ramsey when he comes back. Who else did I forget?
And I spoke to one of the Jags guys at the draft just after the first round when I was out in Chicago, and I said, how quickly did you run to that podium when Jalen Ramsey was available? And it was like, literally, what an addition. And this is a... I spoke to Dave Caldwell and he said, we kind of went offense first. That's just the way it worked. Now we've worked on the defense. And, I'm very interested to see. I like Tashaun Gibson. I liked him in Cleveland a lot. I think that kind of can cover the whole field, and maybe in Gus's defense, that's what you need. That kind of Earl Thomas type can go and get the football and create turnovers. But the part I'm really interested in seeing is what impact Malik Jackson has literally right up the gut and pressuring the quarterback, and Dante Fowler. I mean, you watch him in practice. I want to see him coming off the edge and how those two can work. Because obviously, if Malik's, bringing pressure up the middle, then Dante's coming off the edge. It's all kind of movable chess pieces that have been added to this defense. Look, I sometimes get criticized in the UK because I've been on the Jags bandwagon before. People had kind of joined in. They're like, well, let's see the wins, let's see the wins. But I'm genuinely excited about this team. You can't not be when you look at the additions that have been made in recent years. You can't not be excited by what's being built here.
We finish our football talk and now move to summertime talk. What happens in the summertime in London?
Well, it rains. It gets cloudy,
Okay. Probably cold. No,
yeah, it's a little bit cold, but we take our little bits of, I know that teams kind of shut down, don't they, before training camp here in the US. Actually, in the UK, we get quite busy. We've got a number of players that are coming over into market to promote the sport. We're always having people coming in and out of the UK to promote the NFL. So that little window that exists after mini camp and training camp is actually a pretty busy time. But I'll try and get a little beach time before the start of the season. I've got no hair on top to help me out, so I need a bit of a tan. So I'll hit the beach and then hit the studio. And once I'm in the studio, look, you know, it's long hours. It's the weeks are, they're pretty tiring. But you know, I get paid to sit around and watch football and talk football. So
it's not a bad gig.
It's a very, very good gig, actually. I'm not gonna lie.
not at all. We appreciate your time, Neil. It's always good to see you. Take that break because you got Sky Sports, Inside the Huddle, the new Touchdown Magazine, BritView NFL, all this stuff going on.
Oh. So I did the Super Bowl game program last year, and I'm going to do a piece for them again this year.
Congratulations.
Another one for the list.
You keep just adding to the resume.
I'm just trying, man. I just keep going.
Non-stop.
I'm going to do it, and eventually they'll drag me out of here, and I'll be sticking the fingernails in the desk. But until they drag me away, I'll be here.
Always good to see you, Neil. Thanks for your time, man.
My pleasure, man.
Join us Wednesday night for Jaguars Live Television on Channel 4. It's an 8 o'clock start with hosts Ashley Mitchum and Jeff Loggeman, and special guest, well, me. I'll be there at Dick's Wings in Orange Park to preview the team's trip to London and the events surrounding the game. Thursday night, it's Jaguars Radio and Jaguars.com, the Gus Bradley Show from 6 to 7 on the entire radio network and on the website, followed by Jaguars Thursday. Both air on 1010XL in Jacksonville and, as we said, on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app. And finally, London. The Jaguars travel Thursday evening. They're scheduled to arrive in London around 7:30 a.m. Friday, UK time, and it's straight to the hotel from there before regrouping for a midday practice and walkthrough at Allianz Park, the home of Saracens Rugby Club. If you're coming to London, I'll hope to see you Saturday at Regent Street. The NFL shuts off the street for pedestrian-only traffic Saturday from Oxford Circus all the way down to Piccadilly Circus. And the main stage is up near the Oxford Circus end. I'll be manning the Jaguars stage in the shadows of the lights of Piccadilly Circus right there Saturday from noon until 6 p.m. Afterwards, it's the Jaguars UK fan party at the Finery Pub. The address is 23 Castle Street in London. The closest tube station is Oxford Circus. The doors open at 6 o'clock. It's first come, first serve. Dress in your best Jags gear and come get hyped for the game with us. It's always a great time year after year after year, and the staff in the UK put on a great party for the fans that Saturday night. Our thanks to Neil Reynolds for joining us earlier this summer and re-airing it again today. And as always, a big thanks to Jaguars manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. Thanks to you for listening. I'm JP Shadrick, and we'll talk to you next time on the JP Shadrick Podcast.